Hey, Heathens, represent your favorite true crime podcast with our latest merch designs. You'll see us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube wearing some incredible designs that we created ourselves. Deadly Drip Apparel is available on the Bonfire Store, and we now have designs available on TikTok Shop. Sweatshirts, bags, t-shirts, and more. My personal favorite has to be our black comfort color shirt with our design, This Little Light of Mine, a fun take on the Fundy Sunday School song. The designs are modeled after traditional tattoos because y'all know Lacey and I are obsessed with traditional tattoo flash. We have tons of colors and styles to choose from that best fit your own aesthetic. We also have some pride designs so you can piss off your conservative family at Tuesday night dinner while still showing your love and support for the LGBTQIA+ community. Check out both of our merch stores to get your next piece. Now back to the show. Hey, Heathens, you're listening to the Deadly Faith Podcast where religion and crime collide. I'm Lola.
And I'm Lacey.
And this shit is twisted.
The mind that was in Jesus, that mind is in me.
Without me, life has no meaning.
Why would God tell you what I'm thinking and tell you what I've said to my wife or my husband when you're not around? It's because I'm the pastor of the church and I need to know.
This is the only place where you can see truth.
This will be the absolute shortest case we have ever covered.
All right. But also, I don't know if I'm going to like it at the end, but I really like the name Shamika.
No.
Why'd she gotta go ruin it? I really like that name.
I know. Trigger warnings. Rape and sexual abuse of a minor.
Oh, son of a bitch. I don't know why, but those just...
Sorry.
Give me murder. Don't give me...
Give me something softer like murder.
Yeah, is that not like weird?
Axe
is
murder.
That weird? It's probably weird, but it's just like... Ugh. I can't handle it. I hope I get.
Okay. So I live in Alabama, you know? You know that.
No.
But these cases always drag me to Utah. I am permanently living in Utah.
It's got a chokehold on you.
Oh, it's got me up against the wall in a chokehold with a gag in my mouth.
It does.
I've been kidnapped by the state of Utah.
It has.
Okay.
Are they in Provo?
Yes.
Son of a bitch, how did I know it? I fucking knew it.
Provo, Utah. Welcome
Are they Mormons?
Back.
Are they? They're Mormons.
Would you like to guess the religion this time? Again.
They're fucking Mormons.
Chokehold. So let's talk about sex. So specifically, I guess we should talk about sex education. If you did you get that at school and church?
Not church. No.
So
at
school.
Church, it was like, don't do it. It's a sin.
Okay.
You'll go to hell.
Well, technically, that is sex education. It's just abstinence, right?
Yeah. But yeah. That was it.
It's just
that
not
was
education.
It. At school, we got sex education. Again, it's Texas. So it was not sex education. It was abstinence-only education. Like,
and here's some pictures of STDs.
Oh, do you know how terrified I was?
Oh, God.
That I was going to catch every STD, and the moment a penis looked at me, I was pregnant.
Does a penis look at you with eyeballs?
Yeah, have you seen those heads? They look like little anteaters.
Ah, don't do that.
Especially if they're uncircumcised. I'm just saying.
If you're not watching, she's making like a snake face with her hand.
I'm a snake.
Like a worm.
Sneaky little snake.
Okay, well, I hate this. Whatever's happening here, we need to stop.
Okay. Rewind.
Okay, if you got it at school, it probably wasn't extremely helpful or comfortable or informative, right? You know?
No.
So if you got sex education from a parent or a family member, that was probably super awkward and weird.
It is.
And maybe not super informative too.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably didn't ask a lot of questions.
I have to ask before we keep going, what was your sex education?
Kind of the same as yours.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, okay, oh God. So in the Church of Christ, we had Purity Day.
Oh, God, I already don't like it.
I deleted the video. It used to be on my TikTok, but there was a...
Does it involve a ring?
I did get a ring, but my mom bought it for me. It wasn't part of the, like, ceremony.
Okay. Still.
But Purity Day was all about, like, abstinence and saving yourself for marriage and, like, being a princess and, like, purity princesses, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We wore purple shirts. It was a thing. And we wore crowns at the end.
Yeah.
Super weird way to tell someone...
Your vagina is special, man.
Oh, yeah. And if you let anyone touch it, you are a crumpled up piece of paper and no one will want you.
Yeah, you can't flatten that paper up, piece of paper up again, or you're losing your petals.
Or the vase, the broken vase. You can put it together, but it's not the same.
Or you like lose your petals.
Yes.
And then you're, damaged flower, your piece of chewed up bubble gum, all of the things.
Literally every example like that. Yes.
So I always knew how babies were made from a very early age. Like I was 5 when I found out how that all happened. And because my older sister, I think, didn't get the sex education. And so she was like, I'm going to take it upon myself. And so my mom was gone one day. She brought this basket down. I vividly remember. It's like my earliest memory.
What?
She brought this basket down. I'm not even sure what was all in it. Might have been even porn. I'm not 100% sure. And she was like,
okay.
She mapped it out to us. Like, this is how babies are made. And I'm like,
this is literally what happens.
Literally is what happened. And it was not, from what I can remember, it was nothing like sexual or like gross. Uh-huh. It was just like, let me inform you this.
Here's the manual.
Science. Yeah. Yeah.
Of how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, of course, puberty and your hormones are raging. So then we get into like junior high with sex education. And then they're like, you're going to die from every STD. So just don't have sex. They didn't even teach us condoms. Like condoms weren't even an option. They're just like, don't even look at one.
Oh, they didn't teach us that either. They did teach that on the boys' side.
You know?
So like,
I don't even think ours got condoms.
In middle school, they like taught the boys how to put a condom on a banana.
No, because if I teach you how to put it on a banana, that means you're going to use it and you're going to take the easy way out instead of just abstinence-only education.
Interesting.
Because Texas, yeah.
The purity day thing, they had to sign a contract.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I was saying, I had a video that used to be on my TikTok. It's gone now. But I ripped up my certificate that like said I'm going to save myself.
You pledged? Yeah, we signed ourselves. We signed pledges.
And our like parents had to like
purity pledges. Yeah.
Witness it or something. And like it was the whole thing. So, yeah. And my mom gave me a purity ring.
Did you only ever sign one?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, I signed so many.
Oh, gosh.
So many. Every time we had a conference or anything that people had purity pledges, I would like repledge myself.
I only did it the once, so mine doesn't count.
I think I canceled them all out. I don't think they worked.
So, yeah, as I was saying, I think if you're a parent like that wants to inform their child, it's important to like talk about it with the appropriate intentions,
Yeah.
To keep them like informed and safe and talk about consent and like, just like those big overarching themes when it comes to sexual relationships and navigating that.
And it can start very early on. Like I would even say my smallest children have some kind of sex education. They know that
it doesn't have to be explicit and like every single part of what goes on with it. It can just be like, these are the places that like no one is supposed to touch except for you.
Yeah.
And,
anatomically.
And doctor. And call them what they're called.
Yes. We call them by their anatomical
names.
It's a vulva,
a vagina, a penis,
yes.
A scrotum. Like
everything.
Yeah.
They know daddy has a different anatomical private part than mommy and all of us do. And they ask questions that are just very like childlike, innocent questions like, they know I have hair that grows down there. And they're like, one day they're like, does Chad have hair on his penis? I was like, yes, people grow hair on their penis. Like, they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So like, and we see a urinal and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, well, boys use that to pee in. She's like, dad sits on that thing? Well, no, honey, because like our anatomically, our body parts are different. So,
hey, I would have thought the same thing.
Yeah, because they didn't know. That was before they knew that daddy had something different. And they were very, very, very young. So we just answer them in an age appropriate way. If it gets to a point where it's like,
perfect,
you're not ready for that, we just say, you'll learn that when you're older. They do not understand how babies are made, minus my oldest. My oldest knows. She's learned that now. We've had that conversation. But it's always been a conversation that we've had since they were very little to try to normalize it. Is it still awkward conversations? Sure. Especially when like with my, 10-year-old, we've had some conversations where it's like, oh, okay. And she's like, mom, but it's like, well,
yeah,
I'd rather it come from me than
True.
Friends, you know, kind of thing, but...
Yeah. And it's okay to talk about that with mom. It's okay to talk about that, like...
Yes.
Like, that's a big thing, because whenever the time does come, and she has even more questions or concerns...
I want to be safe, a safe person. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So the big themes are safety and consent, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
And you can't teach them everything. We've established this.
Absolutely not.
You're not supposed to teach them everything.
Yeah.
You know,
like that would be so weird.
And that's where this story gets bad and disgusting.
Oh no, 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 no.
And traumatizing. And this is what sex education never should be. Okay.
I don't like this. I know where this is going.
I'm sorry.
And I don't like it. I want off this train. Where's the next stop?
I'm sorry. I have to keep going. I have to honk, honk, moving. Trains don't honk. Yes, they do. Whatever. Toot, 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 toot. Okay. So John Lee Hayes was born in 1989 to Jane and Gary Hayes. And this is according to his Facebook. He was a software engineer at Prestige Financial Services. Also based off of his profile, I found that he is a Trump supporter, sporting a photo from 2020 on his Facebook of him holding a dead buck with the Trump-Pence 2020 border frame.
Color me shocked.
Shamika. I can't say her middle name. Zekwa?
Shamika Zekwa. Okay, if her name is Shamika Zekwa, like, come on. That's a cool name. I don't think I'm not going to like you.
I think
but
that was her maiden name. I'm okay. Not sure. I can't really say it, but Shamika Hayes was born in 1985. According to her Facebook, she was a super dedicated Mormon mom. Wonder if that's going to come back to haunt us. She was also working at a boys' juvenile detention center.
Okay.
John and Shamika met in 2007, and they married in 2009. Shamika's oldest biological daughter is hers.
Okay.
Not John's.
Okay.
John is this child's stepfather, but he married Shamika when she was pregnant with this child.
Okay.
I don't have her name, so I'm not going to use it.
Okay.
None of the kids' names. I don't have any of them. They're not listed anywhere.
That's all right. We don't need them.
Yeah.
Child one.
Like I said, he married Shamika when she was pregnant with the eldest daughter. So that's pretty much the only dad she's ever known. They have four other children together.
Okay.
So together.
Five total.
Yeah.
Four biological.
One day. One day, John and Shamika find their 14-year-old daughter's Snapchat logs. And they see some sexual conversations. This is alleged because I haven't seen any of this. With these Snapchat logs or anything, I'm sure they can't even put that out to the public because, like, it's a minor's communication.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they said that they saw some sexual conversations and nudes being sent between her and some strangers online. I don't know if they mean strangers, like, she literally does not know them, or if it's people her age that they just don't know.
Right.
I'm not sure of that. But she's talking to people. And as far as we know, there were no plans talked about in the logs to meet up to actually engage in any, like, intercourse or sexual acts.
Okay.
So they confront her that they know about this information, and they're like, you can't be talking to strangers. This is unsafe. Like, you can't be doing that. So they were like,
okay.
Oh my God, I feel sick. I'm not going to throw up.
I was going to say, my stomach hurts because I have a feeling I know where this is all going.
So they proposed to her that they should have sexual experiences together so that she learns from them and not a stranger.
No.
I'm not making this up.
No.
You can't make this up.
No. No.
So,
that's incest.
They then got her sex toys.
No.
They bought sex toys and they... Lacey's going to lose a knife.
What? What?
I know what's
okay,
coming and
on.
I'm still...
Rewind.
Upset.
What fucking sex toys does a 14-year-old fucking person know, want, need? I don't... They... What? What?
Mm-mm.
Start with your hand, okay? And you don't need your...
Literally.
Google
no,
it.
But they shouldn't be involved in any of this, though.
None of
you
this.
Know, for any, like, masturbation things, they should not be included in. It should be her own exploration of her body. But they got her sex toys and showed her how to use them on them.
Ah, no, no, no. I don't like this.
And herself.
I don't like this.
I shouldn't have eaten before this.
She's 14. The only sex toy she should have is her shower head, okay?
I didn't know about that until I was older.
Oh, I knew.
Like 22, by the way.
I knew about it when I was younger.
Well, lucky you. No. I'm sorry. So, this is...
Oh, my God.
We're not trying to make light of this. We're both very uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable. That's why I'm laughing. My stomach hurts.
This is really serious. What happened to this child? Because that's what she is. She's a child. They taught her how to use those sex toys on themselves and herself. And they had sex in front of her. And they also both raped her. For the purpose of learning. And no one would have ever known about this, too. No one would have known had she not found the courage at 15 years old to speak up.
Oh, thank God.
So 1.5 years of this constant rape, abuse.
Constant?
Constant.
I'm sorry. What? Constant?
Yeah. You're going to hate this guy. If you don't hate him already.
I hate both of them because John and Shoemaker are doing this to her.
Both of them, yeah.
And you're not trying to just teach her, which already... way fucked up and like, excuse me, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You're continuing to do it? I'm sorry. That is the first way to fuck up a child's sexual exploration.
Yeah. I worry for this child. Not because I don't think that she will like have the knowledge one day to be able to like sit with this and like know truth from lies, but like, I don't know. Ugh. I feel so bad that this was her first experience, like firsthand with sexual exploration. So yeah.
This is fucked up.
Horrific that she was raped. So like I said, 1.5 years of this happening before she finds the courage to call police. So in March of 2024, Provo police officers responded to a phone call from her where she says that her stepfather had been raping her. She told them that her mom knew about the abuse and did nothing to protect her. So the police get there. Immediately, they detain both parents for interview. And they start asking them, like, are these claims true? And they admitted to everything.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But
so
what the fuck?
John says, oh, well, I didn't ever actually have intercourse with her because I would never actually put it all the way in and I wore a condom.
The logic, not there.
It's not in the room with us. I'll tell you that. The logic's not in the room with us. So Shoemaker says, no, he actually did. And she says that she performed oral sex on her own daughter. I know. Disgusting. Throwing up, screaming, crying.
How do these two people find each other? What?
Good question.
Guess what? Not a drag queen. Had to say it.
And they're both white. White Mormons.
Shamika's a white woman?
I know. Yeah, I know.
Okay, Shoemaker. I gotta look up pictures of these fuckers.
So they both readily admit to everything. And John actually included that he raped her the night before the police showed up, too. So he had, like, literally just done it. And then he also said that he had been showering with her.
That's not... No, you just disguised this as sex education to get your rocks off. Like, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
You're a full-blown raging pedophile.
Both of them, yeah.
And I hope you get a broomstick up your ass in prison.
Oh, my. Yeah.
No, I don't take that back.
They told police that they believed it was better that she learned sex from them than strangers online. And John and Shoemaker were arrested for forcible sodomy, sexual abuse, and rape. And John has additional charges based off of rape, allegedly with one of the other children in the home. I don't know any more information besides that.
this is disgusting.
And I have no other information on anything with the other kids. So right now it's the middle of 2025, and the couple are in Utah County Jail without bail. All of their kids were sent to foster homes. I don't know if the kids are together. I don't know.
And that's traumatic all in itself. Like, mm-hmm. Are they in a good foster home? We don't know.
And what did these other kids see? Did they hear and see their sister being raped? You know, did they have to watch for sex education? Did they have to watch this happen? I don't know. Like, I've got lots of questions here. And so the couple was part of an LDS church in Provo. It's just called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So I don't know if I've explained this before, but like with the LDS churches, they don't have, so like near you, there may be First Baptist Church of whatever, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Or and there's like markers of like a city. And then it'll say like the type of church it is. So Baptist Church of Christ, Presbyterian, whatever. They'll have different names or like Grace Point. Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just different names. But with LDS churches, they're all called the same thing. They'll just happen to like be placed in different cities.
Yes.
So they're called wards. So like an LDS ward.
Ward. Yes.
I feel like I haven't communicated that in the past with our listeners. So just to give you more clarity, when I say they're part of the LDS church, I don't have a specific name to give you. It's just the one that's in the Provo area. And I did attempt to contact them several times to get a statement and to get information on what they are like going to do with this information. So
yeah. Are you helping the family? Like,
mm-hmm. Are you like helping the kids? Are you like putting together something to help the kids out? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Did you see this coming? Did you know it was happening? Several questions. So when this all started to surface, the church was extremely quiet. And is it the church's responsibility to talk about it or even acknowledge it? Yes, it
absolutely
is.
We talked about this in the Matthew Lee Richards,
mm-hmm.
When
Richards.
Yeah, Richards, he tries to literally murder his entire family, and the church came out like, whoa, we're shocked. Our hearts go out to the family, and we are going to stand by them during this. And they did like a fundraiser for the family. They offered like counseling services for not only the family, but the like people who may be affected by it within the church. Like,
mm-hmm.
If they came out right away, yes, it's your job.
It's literally the point of the church,
is it not?
To like support each other and like get each other through the difficult things in life. So if you claim to be a spiritual beacon or mentors or peers to people in a congregation,
uh-huh.
You have the obligation to speak up, especially if you let them near kids too. Like,
yes,
that's an even heavier responsibility when you have children involved.
And what was his job at church? What was he
involved in? Good question. Was he just like...
Uh-huh.
Was he a regular member? Was he part of leadership? We don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it's not illegal for the church to withhold their thoughts.
No. We can judge them for it, though.
Here's why. If I went right now to the church up the street, the Catholic church, and I was like, hey, this person's been raping me. They have an obligation under state law to report that.
Even?
Yes.
Even like if confessionals?
Yes.
I thought there was a pastoral privilege.
You can say that, but will it hold up in a court of law? It's been known to like come back and bite some people in the ass. So,
okay.
In Utah, recently, a law has been passed where clergy members don't have to report child sexual assault confessions or grievances.
Now, my question is here. I got two parts to this question. One,
mm-hmm.
Why the fuck is this a law?
Mm-hmm.
And two, why is it in Utah? Is it a law because of the Mormon church and this was becoming such a big thing? They were like, oh, we really need to put a stop to this. Not like a stop to the action, but the stop of it getting out. So let's just make it like you don't have to.
I feel like I'm going to bring this full circle for us.
Okay.
So the church is also protected in a case where one of their congregants is convicted of a sex crime that they are not liable, whether they knew about it or not. Utah is the only state in the U.S. that have a law like this, where the clergy are not mandated to report. And this is by HB 432 law. and that they can't be held accountable or liable if any of their congregants have committed a crime that they knew about. It is common for bishops in the LDS Church to tell children, and anyone really that's been abused, but mainly children, to simply forgive and forget the abuser and the abuse. So the couple was booked on March 7th of 2024. That law that protects the church was passed on March 24th, 2024.
That's insane.
And it's important to note that a lot of different LDS wards, like in Utah, have been facing lawsuits for sex crimes that have been building over the last year, because former members are coming forward now and they're like wanting to press charges against people in leadership, people that still attend LDS churches near children. And it's mostly for sex crimes and just not protecting their congregation from predators. I want to say that almost no media is covering this because it was extremely hard for me to find any information on all of this. I had to do some major digging.
On this case specifically?
Uh-huh, yeah.
This is fucked up.
A couple of newspapers in Utah did cover this. A couple of news outlets did cover this, but this wasn't like a nationwide thing. It wasn't a statewide thing. This should have gone a lot bigger for how frequent the case is, like it just happened, first of all. And yeah, this is such a heinous crime against a child.
Heinous.
It should be talked about. Like, this is crazy. You don't have to put out their names, you know?
No, absolutely
not. But you
need
to talk about it. So
this needs to get really far out there because it needs to get back to the other prisoners, because this guy better be fucking in jail. You better tell me this motherfucker's in jail.
Yeah, yeah, they're in jail. Yeah.
Oh, God, I was about to say.
They're being held without bail currently.
Thank you.
I don't know about
for
a court date.
Once, for fucking once, they did it right. They didn't give him bail. Thank you so much.
I did try to look up the family members. Shamika's stuff is, like, locked. It's really hard to find anyone that's associated with her. John, I was able to find, like, some family, but his mom is dead. And I tried to reach out to dad, but he doesn't seem to be active on socials. So, oh, here's where this comes full circle. Remember that we have deep LDS roots in Utah. We already know this, but especially with the church trying to be their own judge, jury, and executioner and reporter. Because remember when they first were like fucking around doing sexually deviant things, especially with like polygamy.
Yeah, back
the federal
in the day.
Representatives. From New York. Was it New York? I think it was.
Or Washington?
I don't remember. But they were coming all the way across the U.S. And they were like trying to, they were like, hey guys, we need to have some talks here. Because you're putting people in power that are high up in the church and they're mixing love with religion. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing here.
Yeah.
And they were like, fuck off, leave us alone. Like, we're a lawless land, pretty much. Like, Utah is wild. So there's also another law in Utah that prevents media from releasing names of the abusers that are members of the church. So we've got lots of laws in place that are specifically protecting abusers in the LDS church. So this is why this is all full circle. It's like you did it back then, you do it today. So don't say that you're progressive and that you've changed and that you've spoken out against it. Like, you can't say that when you silently pass laws in the background that protect you and abusers.
Yeah. This is because I did look it up. Like, yes, clergy privilege. Privilege, I can't talk tonight, is a thing. But when it comes to cases of like child abuse or like crimes like that, then there's exceptions. The fact that they had to make a specific law, like, you don't have to, I'm so sorry that child is abused. You don't have to say anything though. Brr. The fuck?
Doesn't seem very sorry to me.
I hate
also,
it here.
Why didn't I wait to cover this until more information was out? I gave them a year and a half. I really thought a court date would be set by now, or that some other media outlets would pick up stuff, or that other public records would be shared, but I just don't have anything. So
nothing.
I'm hoping that more is going to come out. And like I said, I was unable to get a statement from any family or from the church. I did call the church multiple times, and I was unable to get anyone that would speak to me about this. If you have any info on this family or anything that's going on with this case, please email us, deadlyfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Please.
Also, I have to ask, like, you called their actual church?
Oh, yes, I did.
And they answered?
I called every church in the Provo area.
And what did they say? Or just like, we can't talk about it? Or like,
we're unfamiliar with that. We have no statement at this time. When I, like, when asked to, like, speak to someone in a higher position, it was just like, we're not unable to do that. So.
Wow.
Or sometimes they just wouldn't answer the phone at all. So
I am disgusted.
If you are listening and you're part of one of these LDS wards in or around Provo, Utah, and you're against this, I would highly advise you to put out a statement and to start putting together a plan to help the children affected and to take self-inventory of the church body and ensure that no parts of it are sick. No parts of it are full of, you know, pedophiles and abusers and predators. Because if you really care about following Jesus, you'll remember where he says a lot about protecting the little children.
The children.
So just don't forget that. If you're going to hold these values true, you better hold them tight.
And I'm not saying that the church could have done anything to prevent this, okay? They didn't know. I will play devil's advocate. They didn't know. But the moment this comes out, you make a fucking statement.
You do something.
At least the ward that they are members of. Like, you make a statement. Because I tell you, I saw a picture of this family. You would have never suspected this.
No.
When I tell you they look like the typical American family.
They look well put together for the most part. They look like just a normal middle class family.
Not like just, they don't look like they have riches.
No.
But they don't like, look like they're struggling. You know, like they an average American family. You would not guess it. That's why anything that comes out on somebody when they're like so-and-so did a crime.
They would never.
I know them and I would. You don't know shit. You don't know fucking shit. If it came out tomorrow that the Pope had somebody locked up in his basement, I wouldn't be shocked. Why? Because you don't know shit about shit when it comes to people and their crimes. And that is probably the one thing that makes me so mad, especially when it's cases of abuse, like sexual abuse against a minor, because people will play that card of like, oh, I know that person. They would never. You don't know. You don't know.
You know, I wish that we would just believe women, and I wish that we would also just believe children.
Believe children. Believe children. And I'm so fucking glad that this was taken serious from the jump. And I am so glad that they immediately went like, yeah, I raped her. Thank you for being
honest.
Honest? Question
mark.
That's
all I can thank you for.
I can't. okay. That doesn't compute to me, because how many times have we done cases where they're like, I didn't. Blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, but it wasn't. I'm sorry. I know I'm laughing, but like the stupidity cannot get through my brain of like, but I didn't rape her because I didn't stick it in all the way and I used a condom.
I know.
That's like saying I didn't kidnap her. I only held her against her will for an hour.
Make it make sense. Exactly. Yeah, you're right. So I know I started this out with like purity culture and stuff. And like sex education and everything. Just circling back to that, make sure it's appropriate, make sure it's clinical and safety as always. I don't think I have to tell any parents not to rape their kids, but please don't rape your kids. Please don't do that.
Put yourself
in a hospital if you feel like doing that. Seriously, like, call someone. You need some help. Like, I'm not saying that as a joke. You actually need help.
There was somebody, it was a video on YouTube, and this guy was like, YouTube or TikTok or is a small, I don't know, I can't remember. And it was like, this guy was in the hospital and it was in a shared room, and this other guy was with him, and he was much, much older man, like on death's door, right, kind of thing. He was really sick. He had cancer or something. And the guy asked him, like, they were in conversation, and the guy asked him, what was your biggest accomplishment in your life, like, now that you're at the end and, like, looking back? And he said, I never sexually abused a child. And the guy was, like, taken aback, like, what the fuck? And he said, I have always been sexually attracted to minors, and I fought it my entire life, and I never once put my hands on a child and sexually abused them. And I was like, whoa.
What a perspective. Oh, my God.
What a fucking perspective. Like, because we always talk about, like, mm-hmm. you didn't choose to be gay. Like, mm-hmm. is this, do you not choose to be?
Like, are you just born with something, like?
Something fucked up in your head?
In your brain. Yeah. Not to say being gay is a fucked up thing in your brain.
No.
It's not the same like that.
No.
Man.
But, yeah. So it just made me think, like, That's wild. But yeah, okay, that sucks. Sorry, but you also you can't hurt people. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, just like if you're born with a desire to kill people, like you're psychotic, you know, like I don't know the whole thing. I am
my
I'm shooketh, and I'm grossed out, and I cannot believe this does not have more coverage. I cannot believe we have not heard more about this.
I had to go dig through. There's a couple of TikToks out there. There's one YouTube video that is very short that talks about it. Facebook, there's a couple of posts. Instagram, there's a couple of posts. But, like, I've been through every single thing, every single news article online, everything. With most cases, I don't have to go that deep to find stuff. And I normally don't even have to, like, use a whole bunch of different sources, you know?
There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
Because there is more. It's
you
just
don't
not
just
out yet.
Wake up one day and be like, oh, my daughter sent a sexually explicit picture on Snapchat. So I'm going to rape her?
I need to know more about both of them, like, their pasts. I need to know more about this girl's, like, experience with her parents before this.
I hope they're investigating more.
I need to know where her biological father is and if he is, like, a factor in any of this. I have so many questions.
Yep.
So hopefully more will come out and we'll be able to, like, kind of put the pieces together and possibly prevent something like this from happening again in the future. But, like, again, a lot of it is probably being censored because of Utah laws and because of the church's influence over Utah media. And so I just have a sneaking suspicion that if they change a law that quick to protect their asses, they would probably try to hide it from the media. They would probably try to hide the type of influence and responsibility that they have in a situation like this.
Yeah. The fact that they just, like, straight out confessed, like, still blows my mind. But the fact that they straight out confessed, I think what will happen is they will have a plea deal and they will take it because they've already confessed.
No reason
I don't
to go
see
to
a trial happening. Yeah, because they would have to put the 14-year-old on the stand and that would be so traumatizing.
Would they have to?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. They would
that
have
sucks.
To, unfortunately. I say yes, but they have their confession. And so it depends on the prosecution. So if the prosecution wanted to, they could use the police that they confessed to as a witness.
Oh,
and that would be a lot easier. But if they want to just, like, have an open and shut case, and a lot of times what they'll do is they'll want, if it is, you know, a trial where, like, they're going to be found guilty or not guilty, they will have the victim take the stand, and they want the victim to take a stand because it will be more influential to the jury and it will have more
impact.
That makes
sense.
And so, unfortunately, it's
all a fucking game. God,
yeah,
it
really fucking is, and it pisses me off. Like, it's literally a game of, like, who can be manipulative enough to the jury to, like, pull on their heartstrings.
Exactly.
Or who can create a story enough.
Who can make it more believable.
Yeah, who can act in such a way that is, like, more convincing. It's really fucked up.
Now I see why they're like politicians and actor or politicians and lawyers make great actors.
That's it.
Anyway, so that's it for this case. I'm really sorry about the content because it's horrible, but we have to talk about it and we can't forget this case. We can't just let it slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
I don't have to know the name of the victim to know that she's important, and this could be happening. This probably is happening to other families, to other kids out there. So, like, we still need to talk about it as horrible as it is. And should this person ever hear this podcast one day, you may never. But I'm so sorry that this happened to you.
I want to hug you.
And I hope that you're okay. And if we can do anything to support you, don't be afraid to reach out to us. So.
Yeah. I just want to hug you. Like, that's so fucked up what you've been through.
I'm not going to cry. I'm okay.
It's so fucked up.
Her own mom and dad. Ugh.
That, like, okay, biological or not, like, what the fuck ever. That's all she's ever known. That's her fucking dad.
Exactly. Yeah.
The guys that it was at, like, doing it to teach you, it is a level of ick, and I don't understand why it is so much to me like that. Like, but it is. And I don't have words.
Because it takes something that's a normal concept to, like, learn about sex education and to learn about your body, and it completely twists it.
Yes.
And warps it in your brain and body. Like, yeah. Your body cues are different after that, after you've been molested or raped, especially by a family member. Like,
mm-hmm.
Nothing's the same anymore.
After I was assaulted as a young child, none of my family knew that it happened. They didn't find out till I was 30.
Yeah.
Anytime I would like sit by my dad, or he would like put his hand over and like pat my leg, thigh.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like high up, like just patting my thigh. Instant freeze. Made me feel so uncomfortable. But it wasn't him that I didn't feel safe around.
It's not him. It's just your whole.
Absolutely. I felt safe around him all the time, but it was a trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would just feel so uncomfortable.
Exactly.
I fucking can't with this. I'm taking a sleeping pill tonight.
I know. It's going to be hard to sit with this, but we're here for that person. Fuck those guys. Anyway.
Fuck them. I hope prison is a fucking...
I'm sure
nightmare.
It will be bad. Okay.
I hope it's a fucking nightmare for you. And I hope you never sleep. I hope you always have to sleep with one eye open. And I hope your pillow is never cold. And I hope you stub your toe every fucking day getting out of bed.
The hot pillow. It's the
hot
pillow.
And I hope you clog every goddamn toilet and it backs up every time you take a dump. And I hope you have a toothache that just never goes away and doctors can't fix it.
Well.
And I hope you have gas, painful gas. I hope all the bad things for them.
And I'm sure that will all come to fruition.
Yeah.
Now I'd like to put us on a better route out.
Yeah. Take a hard right turn.
I know.
Out of this and into our palate cleansers.
Yeah.
Because good fucking God.
Woo.
I have one that is actually a really good one. This is so exciting. And I know I talk about these people all the time on the podcast, but it's because I love them and I aspire to be like them. We do. So Kendall Ray. One of my favorite true crimers, content creators. Like we've said in the past, she has a company called Mile Higher Media. They also have Mile Higher Hope Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this has been in the works for months and they just let us know that this is happening. And I just could not be more excited. They have been able to fund a dog training. One of my daughters woke up. If you guys hear any crying in the background, it's my daughter. She woke up. My husband's consoling her. Okay. Well, so they were able to fund a dog sniffing. This is insane. It actually goes with the case today. So a dog training for a sniffer dog who is able to be trained to detect SD cards.
What?
Yes. So very small SD cards or chips or all that stuff. Because a lot of times when something has child pornography or CSAM on it.
Yeah.
CSAM. That's what it's called now. Not child pornography. But CSAM on it, they can be hard to find and locate. So the dogs are specifically trained in order to sniff out the glue in these tiny little chips that are holding all the pieces together. I know. Okay.
That's insane.
So fucking cool.
I'm obsessed with this.
It's
That's
very
great.
Expensive to train these dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have been able to fund because Colorado, they live in Colorado. Colorado doesn't have one of these dogs. Not every state has one because it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. But they were able to fund for Colorado to get one of these dogs. So in like a month or two, they'll find out because they don't know if their dog that they're getting for Colorado is a girl or a boy. Because what they do is they go through the training as like a group of dogs. And then the Colorado handler that gets their dog, they match whatever dog, their personality with the handler's personality.
Yeah.
They do like a little meet cute, little match and test out which dog's going to be with which handler. So they don't know which dog it's going to be. So they don't know if it's a girl or a boy. By the time this comes out, they'll most likely have already found out. So they've gotten names right now that their listeners are voting on, but they'll get to go meet the dog. And I'm like, they were able to pay
That's
for all
awesome.
Of that. And I was just like, I love getting updates from their foundation.
Incredible.
I just love what they're doing. They're so cool.
I like that that also kind of links back to this case a little bit. That's cool.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, mine is from the Good News Network.
Gotta love them.
A rare wild baby horse is adopted by a domestic pony that just lost her own foal.
No.
So this is at the Minnesota Zoo. Alice lost her own offspring and decided to put Merritt, the months-old Przewalski horse foal, between her heart and hooves. That's what it says. So born on May 17th at the Minnesota Zoo, the male foal is a result of decades-long commitment to saving the endangered Przewalski horse, which over the last 15 years, they've like actually kind of they've been taken, I think, kind of off the endangered species.
Oh.
My sister used to be obsessed with Przewalskis. We actually went all the way to Ohio one year to see some Przewalski horses because she was a horse girl growing up.
She thought
they were so beautiful.
She looks like she would be
lovely.
A horse girl.
She drew them all the time. She talked about them. She read about them. Oh my gosh, she loved them. So Alice is a gentle pony of the Americas, and she had just lost her newborn and around the same time. So she still had her milk supply too.
Yeah.
Around the same time that Merritt was born. So she was able to feed Merritt and so that's her adopted baby now. So
that's her adopted baby.
How beautiful is that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it foal or is it fowl?
Foal.
I've always said fowl.
F-O-A-L, foal.
Oh, I was thinking foul.
No, that's like a foul ball.
Yeah.
That's different. This is not a sports podcast. I think you're in the wrong podcast.
I am. I'm so sorry. I'm dyslexic, so I will play that card.
Well, what a nice way to end it. I'll still be looking for updates on this case. Should anything like substantial come out, we'll put updates on our social media about it. And if there's a lot more that comes out, then I might do a part two of this in the future.
That sounds great.
I'm just going to wait it out. But like I said, if you guys have any information on this, feel free to email us at deadlyfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, I almost said .com.
deadlyfaithpodcast@gmail.com.
We don't have a website. Anyway, working on that. But with that, guys, please stay safe, stay skeptical,
and steer clear of the cultish carousel.
Bye.
Also, heathens, if you're enjoying the show so far, always remember to like, subscribe, do all the things because we love you and you love us, okay? Deadly Faith is brought to you by Lacey Bean and Lola Robbins and audio engineered by Eric Howe. Thanks for listening.